The concert opens with a 1955 Summer Stock Overture by Samuel Adler. That will be followed by music from the film Our Town by Aaron Copland. Then will come a world premiere of a piece titled 612 for piano and chamber orchestra. The composer and pianist for the performance is Frederick Koch. After that, we'll hear two short works by our conductor, Richard Bales. Both works were written in tribute to other musicians. First is explained by its title, In Memory of Leopold Stokowski. The second, Baronesque, was written for Aaron Copland on the occasion of his 80th birthday. Following these two works, we'll hear Symphony No. 1 by Beatrice Laufer, dating from 1945. And to conclude it all, the two marches by John Philip Sousa. I'm Fred Calland, your host for this concert from the American Music Festival. For the American composer coming of age in the 1940s and 1950s, two things were required to complete the rite of passage. First was that he write a big, grand American symphony, and the other, that he compose a bright, brash, upbeat American overture. We have a fine example of the latter part of this rite to open this concert by the National Gallery Orchestra, conducted by Richard Bales. Composer Samuel Adler was born in Mannheim, Germany on March 4, 1928. He came to the United States in 1939 and studied at first Boston and later Yale universities. He counts among his composition teachers Walter Piston, Paul Hindemith, and Randall Thompson. Adler joined the U.S. Army in 1950 and organized the 7th Army Orchestra in Germany. After a period of activity in the Dallas, Texas area, Samuel Adler joined the faculty of the Eastman School, where he is active today. Samuel Adler's catalog includes over 160 published works in all media, including 4 operas and 5 symphonies. His first works came in the 1950s, and interestingly enough, they included 2 symphonies and the work we'll hear, his Summer Stock Overture. The Summer Stock referred to is the wide-open, bustling theater of that season. Here is Richard Bales to conduct the National Gallery Orchestra in Samuel Adler's Summer Stock Overture.
Thank you.
Summer Stock. Overture by Samuel Adler, played by the National Gallery Orchestra, conducted by Richard Bales. Film music constitutes a new musical medium that exerts a fascination of its own. Actually, it is a new form of dramatic composition, and it opens up unexplored possibilities. Aaron Copland said that about film music, and he should know. He is one of a fairly small group of primarily concert music composers who have written extensively for films. Not only that, but he is the only one of this select group to have won an Oscar for his efforts. Aaron Copland first came to film through a documentary shown at the 1939 World's Fair and called The City. That score opened some doors, and the next year he was hired to write the music for an honest-to-goodness, money-making release by one of the then small studios, United Artists. The film was called Of Mice and Men. Six more films followed that, including The Red Pony and The Heiress in 1949, and Something Wild in 1961. It was his score for The Heiress, by the way, which won him the Academy Award. Another film assignment in 1940, the year for Of Mice and Men, was for a Saul Lesser picture based on Thornton Wilder's Pulitzer Prize-winning play, Our Town. The story centered about the life in a small New England town, which Wilder called Grover's Corners. The town was, in fact, Peterborough, New Hampshire. It was while at the McDowell Colony near Peterborough that Wilder wrote the story. Copland had also worked at the colony, and his knowledge of the small town adds a special authenticity to the score he wrote. Shortly after completing the film project, Copland arranged some of the music for his Our Town score into a suite which was premiered by Howard Barlow and the CBS Symphony. Copland later revised that suite into the version we'll hear now with Richard Bales conducting the National Gallery Orchestra. Music from the film Our Town by Aaron Copland.
Thank you.
suite of music written for the film Our Town by Aaron Copland. The National Gallery Orchestra was under the direction of Richard Bales. The 38 previous American music festivals at the National Gallery of Art in Washington have been the occasions for a good number of premier performances. And this particular concert is another. Shortly, we'll be hearing the world premiere of 612 for Piano and Chamber Orchestra, a 1980 composition by Frederick Koch.
I have a little jazz or pops trio called the Classic Touch, and we've been doing some things out, and I've been composing some things for them. And one of the members has lives in an apartment, 612, and he has a number, 661-5478. So I just thought, well, now that is an intriguing little combination of, and I began to work with it, and it just became a theme, all based on this. And then we did this little arrangement for this trio. And then when I was asked to do the orchestra piece, I could see how it could be enlarged and become a regular orchestral work. So it worked out awfully well. And of course, it helped me because I had performed it in a capsule version. And then the overblown group, the other movements, of course, I had to add.
Well, in your work for piano and chamber orchestra, how have you solved the problem of piano and strings, which, if you don't have some awareness of it, can be a real jangling sort of thing? Do the strings take their lead from the piano sound, or vice versa?
Well, at times we have, in this particular arrangement, there's been sort of 2D sections where I'm playing with the strings, and other times where it's just open and I'm playing and they are just providing sort of a little under sort of harmonic ground over which I play. I've worked with strings a lot because I've played a lot of string quartets, and I think I have a fairly good idea of how to work with them. In this, the piano was more or less a part of the whole ensemble, and until the second and third movements, it became a little more into a soloistic role. Up to that point, it had been more an ensemble piece. In the middle of the first movement, there's a little jazz section, and the winds and the brass have something, and then the piano has this little. So it's sort of like the concertino in the old, where a small group plays and a large group plays, and then everybody plays, and that was sandwiched in between. There was a beginning and an end, so it was a large arch form with this little jazz form in the middle. And I think that it's possible to have a work that is direct and communicative, and yet is fresh and arresting to listen to.
Do you feel in any ways defensive about bringing jazz elements into, quote, serious music?
No, I don't, because I think that's part of our culture here in America. I mean, just as I think that the musical theater is our form of opera. So I think we've sort of have put down our composers here who have contributed a great deal to music by pigeonholing them into the commercial sort of aspect, because our whole aspect of music in this country has been more or less commercial. I think if it's done tastefully, and there certainly is nothing wrong with it, because these syncopations exist in Bach. I mean, I point them out all the time, and it's jazz-like if you play a two-part invention. So rhythmically, there isn't any difference. These occur, but we begin to put labels on things, which I think is awfully dangerous and defeating to the success of music.
Born in 1928, Frederick Koch is a graduate of the Cleveland Institute of Music and the Eastman School in Rochester, New York. Recently, he has been the musical director for the Berkshire Center for the Performing Arts. He has completed some 60 published works, which include 2 symphonies, chamber music, works for 2 pianos, many pieces for percussion, concert band scores, and choral works. Writing in the Cleveland Plain Dealer, critic Wilma Salisbury noted, "Koch obviously has a flair for the stage and a propensity toward a popular style. In fact, certain elements from his pop bag, jazzy rhythms, blue chords, catchy tunes, occasionally creep into his serious pieces. Koch's serious works are usually simple and easily accessible, spare in texture, and lucid in form." So here's the premier performance of 612 for piano and chamber orchestra by Frederick Koch. The composer is at the piano, and the National Gallery Orchestra is under the direction of Richard Bales.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was the world premiere performance of 612 for piano and chamber orchestra by Frederick Koch. Mr. Koch was the soloist, with the National Gallery Orchestra, Richard Bales conductor. Works by Samuel Adler and Aaron Copland, the Summer Stock Overture and the music for the film Our Town, opened the concert, and in a few minutes we will rejoin Richard Bales for the second half of the concert, including two memoriam pieces by Mr. Bales, one for Leopold Stokowski, one for Aaron Copland, and the first Washington performance of the Symphony No. 1 by Beatrice Laufer. The concert will close with two marches by John Philip Sousa. You are listening to the American Music Festival, coming to you from NPR, National Public Radio. Richard Bales, conductor of the National Gallery Orchestra and the founder of the National Gallery's annual American Music Festival, is also a composer, and two short works by him will be heard next. Bales was born on February the 3rd, 1915, in Alexandria, Virginia. He is a graduate of the Eastman and Juilliard schools and was a private conducting pupil of Serge Koussevitzky. Since 1943, he has been music director at the National Gallery of Art. His activities as a conductor are perhaps best known. Richard Bales and the National Gallery Orchestra made the first recording of the Third Symphony of Charles Ives and gave the first performance of Mr. Ives' First Symphony. Richard Bales has written many original compositions. Three of his large-scale patriotic cantatas have been recorded: The Revolution, The Union, and The Confederacy. Other works written include film scores, orchestral pieces, songs, a string quartet, and ballet music. Mr. Bales is also responsible for a number of transcriptions for orchestra of works by Purcell, James Hewitt, Howard Hanson, William Byrd, George Frederick Handel, Stephen Foster, Giles Farnaby, Louis-Antoine Julien, and early American composers. The two works by Richard Bales we'll be hearing were both written in tribute to other musicians. The first is entitled In Memory of Leopold Stokowski.
Stokowski meant a great deal to me. I don't think I'd be speaking to you here now if I hadn't been so thrilled and enchanted by seeing him first conduct back in 1930. When I learned that Stokey, as we called him, died, I wanted to play something on that first concert. So I picked out the exact instrumentation of that program, and I decided to use those instruments. I thought through a great deal of music that I had written, so I just reworked something that I had done, I don't think, as well before. It was like the French cook has some nice soup on the back of the stove, so I seasoned it up as a tribute.
Richard Vales has conducted the National Gallery Orchestra in his own In Memory of Leopold Stokowski. Sometimes the composer's art can be discovered through simple contrast. Richard Vales has rethought his 1980 work, Aronesque, and created an orchestral piece which is the same, yet different.
Aronesque was originally a short piano piece which I wrote for the American Music Festival of 1981. Miss Claudia Stevens of Richmond, a splendid pianist who's on the faculty at William & Mary College in Williamsburg, built her program around Copland's music and asked six composers to write short pieces to add to it as a tribute to his 80th birthday celebration. So I wrote this short piano piece, and I realized that this piece wants to be orchestrated. So I orchestrated it and played it this year. I added a little bit to the introduction and a fair amount to the middle section, and then back to the beginning, and then a coda.
First, from the 38th American Festival, pianist Claudia Stevens plays the original Aronesque. And then from the 39th Festival, we'll hear Richard Vales conduct it in its present guise. Two ways of listening to Aronesque by Richard Vales.
Thank you.
Those were two works, three actually, by Richard Vales, in memory of Leopold Stokowski, and Aranesque, heard in its 1980 version by pianist Claudia Stevens, and in its orchestral reworking. Composer Richard Vales conducted the National Gallery Orchestra. Beatrice Laufer was born in New York in 1923. Her list of compositions is a comprehensive one, and it includes works in many forms, which have received important premieres and performances around the world. Her Symphony No. 1 was introduced by Howard Hanson and the Eastman Rochester Symphony. Her opera Isle was a setting of a scene from O'Neill's Long Voyage Home. Her teachers included some of America's greatest musicians.
When I was at the Juilliard, I studied with Marion Bauer and Vittorio Giannini in orchestration, Marion Bauer in composition. I also studied with Roger Sessions, but I was very much taken with Marion Bauer for her almost perfect, let's say, musically grammatical kind of exposure, which she gave me. She was relentless in the perfection of her musical composition. Now, in comparing our needs, she wrote differently than I do. She wrote more on a sort of a different type of texture musically. I write more on an emotional level. But that had nothing to do with the fact that I admired her capacity, which was really enormous.
Then how could she influence you if you had... If you were yourself and she was herself, what was the interchange?
I was influenced by her because of the well-nigh perfection of her musical education that she imparted to me and gave me a very strong sense of right. I'm very concise in writing. To me, a note that is out of order is a calamity. And that's the kind of thing that she imparted to me. Now, when I studied composition with Vittorio Giannini, he was of a different nature, very, very emotional in his work and a marvelous orchestrator, a very composite orchestrator, and I learned a great deal from him. Now I would say that in the last 10 years or so that my knowledge of orchestration and the insight that I have now is almost invaluably different than at that time, you know, when you're going out of music school and you're learning many things. Well, you learn them by rote, by application, but not so much. You can't at that time have as much insight into what you can do without having that period of time in which to do it, which means that youth must be spent and then getting into a more mature mold into your work. Now I feel that I'm at the really top level in the orchestral ability. And I find also that I'm loath to do works that are in a smaller genre. Now, when I first started, I did many songs, many choral compositions, which have been published by a number of publishers here in the East. And I don't touch that kind of work now because I love to explore the orchestra because I'm dealing with such a large picture, you know, and that's what engages my attention.
Tell us about your Symphony No. 1.
Well, it was an early work, and I did write this music within a three-movement format. However, I was free in my expression as to the music, and so I've used a symphonic theme, a melodic theme, originally in the first section, in very different ways, orchestrally and musically. And I used part of that theme in the second movement, too, which was a slow movement in contrast to the first kind of imperative musical outlook in the first movement. But it also carried the same feeling, but in a different sense, orchestrally and in the creative stance that I used for the second movement. Now, the third movement is completely different in a sense that it's free, it's abandoned, it's joyful, and it really romps down to a complete large finale and a joyful one. And it really comes through in a great power.
Here is Richard Vales to conduct Beatrice Laufer's Symphony No. 1.
Let's not scruple at being super polite. It's been over 30 years since this symphony was written. What is it like to hear it 30 years later?
I was amazed at the orchestration. I didn't believe.
Well, it was yours, wasn't it?
Yeah. But, you know, not having heard it, I was astonished that it moved the way it did. I liked it very much. I felt it had good sound quality. I felt that the theme was very nice, and that for that period it was not a youthful indiscretion.
Beatrice Laufer's Symphony No. 1, played by the National Gallery Orchestra, Richard Bales conducting. The closing pieces for this American Music Festival concert will be a pair of marches by the King, John Philip Sousa.
This year is the 50th anniversary of the death of John Philip Sousa, who has been a great influence in American music, certainly in the band repertoire and in many schools and universities. And there are very few conductors who don't love to conduct one once in a while with a symphony orchestra. I remember my first concert was actually, the first one I ever heard was conducted by John Philip Sousa right here in Washington. My mother got the principal to excuse me from an afternoon from the fifth grade at the Alexandria School, and we went over to the old Washington Auditorium, which was not far from Constitution Hall. It's no longer in existence. And that was a new world revealed to me of Sousa and his big band. And I recall today pretty much the way he looked and how he conducted. So that really started me off before Stokowski provided the clincher when I determined I had to be a conductor.
The Glory of the Yankee Navy was written for a musical comedy entitled The Yankee Girl. The musical needed a march, so Sousa wrote one and dedicated it to the star of the show, Blanche Ring. This was in 1909. Some 13 years earlier, Sousa penned one of his great patriotic marches, The Stars and Stripes Forever. After its premiere, one music critic was moved to exult, "It is stirring enough to rouse the American eagle from his crag and set him to shriek exultantly while he hurls his arrows at the aurora borealis." No interview with John Philip Sousa, it seems, was complete without a question about this work. And to each questioner, Sousa dutifully told the story of how the work was written. He was on a sea voyage, hurrying back to America after learning of the sudden death of his manager. Then a mixture of anxiety and homesickness hit him, and out of it came the work, born to him fully written and complete. Sousa called it a genuine inspiration. He also let slip something about the themes of the piece, which you may not be aware of. According to Sousa, the three themes of the final trio are meant to typify the three sections of the United States. The main theme represents the North, the famous piccolo obbligato is the South, and representing the West is the bold countermelody of the trombones. Richard Bales concludes this American Festival Concert with two Sousa Marches, The Glory of the Yankee Navy and The Stars and Stripes Forever. Two marches by John Philip Sousa have closed this American Music Festival concert, The Glory of the Yankee Navy and The Stars and Stripes Forever. The National Gallery Orchestra was conducted by the organizer and music director of this festival, Richard Bales. Earlier, the orchestra performed Samuel Adler's Summer Stock Overture and music from the film Our Town by Aaron Copland. Pianist Frederick Koch joined the National Gallery Orchestra for the world premiere of his own composition, 612, which was followed by In Memory of Leopold Stokowski and Aranesque by Richard Bales, and Beatrice Laufer's Symphony No. 1. This American Music Festival program was produced by Jeff Mill. The recording engineers were John Widoff and Gary Fink. Production engineering was by Lauren Kelly, and Andy Trudeau provided the program notes. The concert was performed in the East Garden Court of the National Gallery of Art in Washington, D.C., J. Carter Brown, director. Funds for the broadcast are from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. I'm Fred Calland, and this is NPR, National Public Radio.